So one of the most foundational things I think that we teach our children, or at least we try to, sometimes we do it in vain, is to say thank you at least. Right? So when somebody gives you something, you say thank you. When you want something, you say please. So it's a pretty basic thing. Oftentimes, I think we probably say thank you sometimes when we're not really grateful. And I think children probably do that too. But it's a good habit to get into. It's something good to remind ourselves. But I really think, so just with the holiday and all, I know that we're not really, I don't know how often we really even think of gratefulness over this holiday. But if we do stop and think about it, think about the name of Thanksgiving. It is a good reminder to be thankful. So I was talking to my wife a little bit, and we were trying to. So if you're not really thankful for something, how do you cultivate a thankful attitude or a thankful? How do you make yourself more thankful for things? And I don't really have the answer for that, but I do think it is a something that we can maybe discipline ourselves to do. But I don't think it's just discipline. I really believe that it comes from a worldview or it's a very foundational thought. I mean, a thing when you think about it. Just being thankful for the things that we've been given, being thankful for the, sometimes even being thankful for the things that we don't like. So anyway, I don't know. I've got some verses here I'm going to read, and I might talk about that a little bit more later, but when we think of David in the Psalms and praising God, we often think of David when we think of praising God because he wrote so many psalms of praise and often those psalms, I mean, it's just all through the Psalms is the thought of thanksgiving and thankfulness, and I think that is part of David's I think it was probably a big part of his life, just a baseline of his life that he was a grateful person. He was thankful to God for the blessings that he had, even when he had to run from Saul, even when he was afraid for his life. He wrote other psalms, but he often praised the Lord with thanksgiving. I'm just going to read Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, and this is in the ESV, and it goes like this: A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his fullness to all generations. There's a lot of thankfulness there, and I don't even know if David wrote this psalm. I should have probably checked that out, but we know that David wrote a lot of the psalms. But if you think about this, you know, when we think of David, we often think of somebody who killed Goliath and was a king. And David had a lot of good years, but David also had a lot of a lot of bad years as well, years of running for his life. He started out pretty good. He was anointed king at a pretty young age, but he did. Saul tried to kill him a lot of times, and he had to hide and run. But God was faithful to him. David saw God's faithfulness, and I believe he maintained a thankful attitude to God for the mercy that he saw from God and for the things that he. That God had given him. Even though life wasn't easy, God still took care of him. It's easy to be thankful when things are going our way, I think, but it's not so easy when things aren't going our way. And, you know, I had to think about this. Like, I'm not even sure that I'm qualified to speak about thankfulness. Like, I feel like I've had a pretty blessed life. I've never been hungry more than I've like wanted to be hungry. I've never been persecuted. I mean I've experienced some loss, and we've had some things happen. But Like I can look around and I can see people that have experienced a lot worse things. I've never had to run for my life. I've probably been scared for my life maybe a time or two, but not really scared, I don't think. But you know what I mean. I mean, there are a lot of people have endured a lot of things through the years. So I guess the question is out of my life, in my life, can I be thankful even when I'm going through good times and when I'm going through bad times or hard times, things that I think are hard. Maybe they're not the hard. Maybe people have gone through harder things. But you know, we all go through periods of time when we feel depressed, we feel unhappy, we feel lonely, we feel forsaken, things like that. But is this attitude of thankfulness, or can we come back to this thankfulness to God and a praise to God even when things aren't going good? I'm going to read a few more Psalms, and then I'll move on there. But then these are all in the ESV. This is Psalm 50, verse 14. It says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High." And a lot of these we see the sacrifice of praise in worship, or I say worship in praise. I guess I should say, we see that God loves thankfulness. I think he sees that as a sacrifice. And David and the psalmist talk here about offering these sacrifices to God in different places here. But Psalm 116, verse 17 says, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord." Psalm 69, 30 says, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving." Psalm 95, 2 says, "Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." And you can find many more psalms and many more verses in the Bible that just talk about giving thanksgiving to God and that the praise that we bring, the sacrifice that we bring of thanksgiving. I've talked about this a little bit, but is a thankful heart dependent on circumstances? Is thankfulness a choice? Are these things that we can choose to do, or are they things that are dependent on our circumstances? And I don't think we are. Somebody else that I think of when I think of thankfulness, and he talked about it a lot, and I don't know, and this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, and I don't know if this was a part of why God used him so greatly or not, but Paul talks a lot about thanksgiving and thankfulness, and he talks about contentment. I don't know if you can separate thankfulness from contentment. I mean, can you really be thankful if you're not content? I don't know. Anyway, I'll let y'all ponder that. Maybe somebody can. But I'll read a couple verses here. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances. That's a pretty broad statement. This is God's will for you. He told the Ephesians, he said, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians 3:15, it says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So how can we, you know, it would seem that here that's what God wants us to do, is to give thanks in all situations. And he often says, "In the name of Jesus, in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, as believers, we live in the present, but we don't have to live with only the present in view. We can live life in view of eternity because of Jesus. I believe that's what brought Paul through. I believe that's what brought, we look at all the Christians that have been martyred and persecuted before us, people that have starved to death, people that have been forsaken and left alone. But we have this hope that's within us, that because of Jesus, we can obtain eternal life. It talks about great and precious promises that we have, and we know we have something to look forward to, and we know that the the pain and whatever it is that we're going through is just for a time. Like, it's going to pass. Maybe longer for some of us than others, but there are things, and these things are just, they're just for this life. We have eternity to look forward to because of Jesus. I had to think of the verse that it says, and this is Paul talking again in 1 Corinthians 15:16, and he says, "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most pitied." You think about that. If we're just hoping in this life, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most pitied. And I don't know that people look at Christians necessarily in pity us, because we don't always have a hard life as Christians. But I think in Paul's circumstances and in the circumstance that the church was in at that time, I mean, if you look at the persecution, why would you keep following Christ if all you have to hope for is this life? Because that definitely wasn't a good life. I think it should be more true probably today than it is. I think we live in a way that sometimes that we don't. This life is pretty good sometimes, and we're not necessarily pitied. And I don't know that we should necessarily live to be pitied. But when we live for Christ, we do things differently sometimes. And I think people look at us and they probably think we're more strange and things like that than necessarily piteous, at least in our circumstance now. But it's true. If persecution does come again, if we do end up in these some of these hard places, if it wasn't for eternal life and the blood of Christ and the sacrifice that He made so that we can be so that we can look forward to eternal life, then it would be a pity. I mean, it would be kind of a waste. It would be a waste. And Paul lived that way. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he kind of spoke of death in both. He spoke, you know, if he lives, he's going to die to Christ and live the way that Christ wants him to live. And if he dies, it's gain because why? Because he gets to go to be with Christ. Thinking of praying to God and thinking about praise, Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Thankfulness is and talking to God and letting our requests be known to God. That's a, you know, we don't have to, we deal with anxiety sometimes, but we can take those things to God, and we can, through thanksgiving, I think that's, you know, William talked a lot about this year with all the different things that have gone on and with COVID. And there is, I think there's a lot of fear in the world today, you know, but we really don't have to fear death as Christians. I mean, it's not a place that we want to go, and it's not a place, it's something that we want to do, but we really don't have to fear death as Christians. Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul said, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." What are the results of unthankfulness? People, and I don't know if this always happens, but Romans, Paul said, told the Romans, he said in chapter 1, verse 21, he said, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And he speaks of thanks there, and how they became futile in their thinking, and their hearts were darkened. When we give ourselves over to these things, I think God gives us over. Well, He talks about giving us over to a reprobate mind when we continue in wrong living. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, and this is a list of sins, and one of the sins is ungratefulness. He said, understand this, that in the last days there will become times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. And I had to think about this. I'm not sure if he was talking about, so it almost sounds like he's talking about just people of the world with the first part of the list. But then as he gets to the end, he says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power thereof. And the last thing he says there is lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So I'm not sure if he told Timothy to avoid these people. And I don't know that Timothy was supposed to avoid necessarily people that, sinners. I mean, I don't think Paul wanted Timothy or God wants us to avoid sinners, but he does talk about avoiding people in the church with that refuse to repent. So I don't know. I mean, that's probably something we should study out a little bit more there. But or I should, or somebody else should. It's a good thing to look into as we read this scripture. But having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. But anyway, the point I was making there was that the ungratefulness is lumped right in here with this list of things that don't sound so nice. And we don't often think of ungratefulness as that big of a deal. But I think if we are discontent and our ungratefulness goes unchecked, it can turn into all kinds of things. We can if we're not grateful for God and His gifts to us and the people around us, I mean it can turn into bitterness and all kinds of things. When we're upset, when we get angry at God for things that He allows into our lives, we can either choose to, I think Val Yoder talked about either putting things on the altar of how was it? He had two altars, but we can put the hard things that come into our life, we can either put on the altar as a sacrifice to God. What is it? An offer of lament. Or worship. I mean, we can go through life with the mindset that God is in control, and the things that He allows into our lives are good. Maybe not for the here and now, but He does want to work. He wants to work in us and through us, and He wants to make us useful in His kingdom, and He also wants to make us into the image of His Son. And we look at, and I think that's the ultimate picture of suffering, is when we look at Jesus, how He suffered and how He was still grateful, and how He was able to obey the will of the Father even unto death, but He also knew what the end result was, that God would be glorified. But anyway, I think we're useful when we live out of a content and thankful heart. I think God can use us. I don't think God uses people that become bitter and hard in life. So I don't know. That's kind of what I think of, or what I thought of when I thought of Thanksgiving this year. And there's a lot of there's probably more that could be said on the subject. I don't know. Does anybody have anything that they want to share? Something they're thankful for, or something that God's been showing you, or something? I don't know. It's just anything. I guess I didn't take time for announcements either. So if you have an announcement, that could go along there too. But when is that?